people who are not being seen or heard. AMI is a media company that strives to be a voice for Canadians with disabilities, whether it's through positive portrayal, reflection, and accessible media. AMI believes everyone should be included, and that includes you. AMI is inclusion. Experience AMI at amiplus.ca.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Melodies of Myth, where we explore short historical tales blended with Indian classical and Western music. I'm your host, Simar Kaur, and it's an honor to accompany you on this journey of discovering the rich interweaving of music and history. Together, we will explore the stories, traditions, and timeless melodies that have shaped our understanding of this art form. For today's episode, I have a wonderful playlist for you, and I really hope you enjoy.
खींचता है बावरे क्यों दिखाए सपने तू सोते जागते जो बरसे सपने बूंद बूंद नैनों को मूंद मूंद
नैनों को बूंद बूंद
जो बरसे सपने बूंद बूंद नैनों को मूंद मूंद कैसे मैं चलूं देख ना सकूं अनजाने रास्ते
जैसा है कोई एक तारा तू जैसा है कोई एक तारा तू जैसा है कोई एक तारा
अपने बूंद बूंद नैनों को मूंद मूंद
नैनों को मूंद मूंद
जो बरसे सपने बूंद बूंद नैनों को मूंद मूंद कैसे मैं चलूं देख ना सकूं अनजाने रास्ते
जैसा है कोई एक तारा तू जैसा है कोई एक तारा तू जैसा है कोई एक तारा जैसा है कोई एक तारा दी में बोले कोई एक तारा दी में बोले कोई एक तारा तू जैसा है कोई एक तारा तू जैसा है कोई एक तारा
तुम मेरे खुदा दिल की बातें सीखी तुमसे ही ये राहें सीखी तुम पे मर के मैं तो जी गया खुदा जाने के मैं फिदा हूँ खुदा जाने मैं मिट गया खुदा जाने ये क्यों हुआ है के बन गए हो तुम मेरे खुदा तो छुपा लो तुम पनाह में के डर है तुमको खो दूंगा दिल कहे संभल जरा खुशी को ना नजर लगा के डर है मैं तो रो दूंगा सजदे में यूं ही झुकता हूँ तुम पे ही आके रुकता हूँ क्या ये सबको होता है
हमको क्या लेना है सबसे तुमसे ही सब बातें अब से बन जो रखे है तूने कदम तेरे नाम पे मेरी जिंदगी लिख दी मेरे हमदम हंसी का मैंने जीना जीना कैसे जीना हंसी का मैंने जीना मेरे हमदम ना सीखा कभी जीना जीना कैसे जीना ना सीखा जीना तेरे बिना हमदम जो रखे तूने कदम तेरे नाम पे मेरी जिंदगी लिख दी मेरे हमदम हंसी का मैंने जीना जीना कैसे जीना हंसी का मैंने जीना मेरे हमदम ना सीखा कभी जीना जीना कैसे जीना ना सीखा जीना तेरे बिना हमदम
सच्ची सी है ये तारीफें दिल से जो मैंने करी है। सच्ची सी है ये तारीफें दिल से जो मैंने करी है। जो तू मिला तो सजी है दुनिया मेरी हमदम। ओ आसमां मिला जमीन को मेरी आधे आधे पूरे हैं हम। तेरे नाम पे मेरी जिंदगी लिख दी मेरे हमदम। हाँ सीखा मैंने जीना जीना कैसे जीना। हाँ सीखा मैंने जीना ना सीखा कभी जीना जीना कैसे जीना। ना सीखा जीना तेरे बिना दम।
Hi guys, and before we head back to our music, here is a short PSA from the TEDx Queens U Club. They say, get ready for 2025. Join hundreds of curious minds at Queens University for a day filled with inspiring talks, thought-provoking ideas, and transformative conversations. TEDx Queens U is one of Canada's largest student-led TEDx events, where speakers from diverse backgrounds take the stage to share ideas that challenge and inspire. Stay tuned for more details on tickets and programming by visiting TEDx Queens U on Instagram. TEDx Queens U 2025 is also calling for sponsors. If you have an idea worth sharing, this is your chance to take the stage in front of hundreds of curious minds at one of Canada's largest student-led TEDx events. Together, we can amplify innovative ideas and create an unforgettable experience. Interested in sponsoring? Email us at sponsors@tedxqueensu.ca for more details. Today's short story celebrates the transformative journey of Arunima Sinha, from tragedy to triumph. Her story is one of grit, determination, and unyielding courage. Once a national-level volleyball player, Arunima Sinha's life took a dramatic turn in 2011 when she was pushed from a moving train during a robbery attempt. The accident resulted in the amputation of her left leg, an event that could have shattered anyone's spirit. But for her, it became the spark for an extraordinary comeback. Determined not to let her disability define her, Arunima set her sights on an audacious goal, climbing Mount Everest. With no prior experience in mountaineering, she embarked on a journey of rigorous training under the guidance of experts. Battling physical pain, societal skepticism, and financial constraints, she remained steadfast in her mission. In May 2013, Arunima became the world's first female amputee to scale Mount Everest, a feat that inspired millions. Her journey didn't just stop there. She went on to conquer the highest peaks on all seven continents, proving that no obstacle is insurmountable with the right mindset. Arunima now dedicates her life to motivating others, sharing her story and empowering people with disabilities. Her triumph serves as a powerful reminder that resilience and ambition can turn any tragedy into a tale of inspiration. And before I sign off today, here is a PSA from Kingston Currents.
Want to keep up with all things Limestone local news? Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM at 5 p.m. every Tuesday for Kingston Currents. Stay well informed about the issues and developments that matter most to Kingstonians. Join me, your host and CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, as we deep dive into the latest Kingston news, featuring interviews every week with the movers and shakers who shape our city. Learn more about the people, places, and events that make Kingston truly unique. If you want to listen to Kingston Currents on the go or revisit episodes, you can also head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Kingston Currents is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, and Queen's University. If you have a local news story you want to share, you can contact news@cfrc.ca. Keep up with all things current in Kingston on Kingston Currents on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Shining in the setting sun like a pearl upon the ocean. Come and feel me, oh, feel me. Shining in the setting sun like a pearl upon the ocean. Come and heal me, oh, heal me. Thinking about the love we're making and a life we're sharing. Come and feel me, oh, feel me. Shining in the setting sun like a pearl upon the ocean. Come and feel me.
मिला हूँ तेरा looking and a life for sharing. Come and feel me, oh, feel me. Shining in the setting sun like a pearl upon the ocean. Come and feel me, come on, heal me.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbors Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today at Melodies of Myth. And I will see you next Friday at 1:30 p.m. on the dot.
It seems today that all you hear is old country singers and boring rap beats. But where are those good old radio programs that we all used to enjoy? Lucky you've got Bangers with Claire. Lucky there's a show at Saturdays at 10 with all the things that make you dance and smile. It's Bangers with Claire. Go stream Bangers with Claire Saturdays at 10 on CFRC.
Every time a bell rings, someone in Ontario is visiting a food bank. It's nonstop. But through Feed Ontario, a network of more than 1,200 food banks and hunger relief organizations, you can help anyone who needs food find food. Every dollar you donate to Feed Ontario can provide two meals for someone who's hungry. To learn how and how you can help, go to feedontariotogether.ca. And let's make these bells stop ringing.
Hello, everybody. We're Stereolab.
And my name's Tim.
And I'm Laetitia.
And you're listening to
CFRC,
the best radio station we've ever heard.
We wanted to talk about the state of queer media in America today.
It's complicated. You know, we, as presidents of the LA chapter of NLGJ, we've seen tremendous amounts of change just even in the last couple of years.
Honestly, the first step is going to be, is there representation in the newsrooms?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Brian DeShazer. Kuala Lumpur cops drop charges against 200 raid arrestees. The EU's top court orders same-gender marriage portability. And press coverage in the Queer Times of Trump. Those stories and more this week because you found This Way Out.
I'm Melanie Keller.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap. A summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the 2 weeks ending December 6, 2025. A raid on an alleged gay male sauna sex party in the Malaysian city of Kuala Lumpur is turning into a bigger bust than officials planned. After arresting more than 200 men on November 28th, Kuala Lumpur Police Deputy Chief Datuk Mohd Azani Omar was forced to admit not a single one of them admitted to being a victim of exploitation, so the case is gone. The 8 p.m. Friday night operation in the suburb of Chau Kit was carried out with the cooperation of the Federal Territory's Islamic Religious Department and Kuala Lumpur City Hall. Omar told reporters, "We detained 201 patrons and 7 employees aged between 19 and 60, including 24 foreigners. Condoms, lubricants, and other items," Omar said, "that they believed to have been used for immoral purposes were confiscated." Same-gender sex is against the law in Malaysia. In the mostly Muslim Southeast Asian nation, those charged under two provisions of the penal code criminalizing unnatural intercourse and involvement in prostitution and exploitation could have faced up to 20 years in prison. However, 171 Malaysians were freed without charges for lack of evidence. Kuala Lumpur's gay, bisexual, queer men's support group, JJAKA, reports that many were held for more than 40 hours after a magistrate had ordered their release. Foreign men were remanded for 2 days and subsequently released. Muslim detainees could nevertheless be subjected to separate prosecutions under Sharia or Islamic law. Doctors, attorneys, teachers, and low-level government officials were among the detainees. The Education Ministry has already removed teachers caught up in the raid from their schools, pending the completion of ongoing investigations, according to the Straits Times. Efforts are reportedly underway to revoke the sauna's business license and shut it down. Barely 24 hours later, 13 men were arrested at an alleged gay sauna in Puri, Penang, as the crackdown on LGBTQ communities in Malaysia continues. The escalating anti-queer persecution is condemned by several domestic and global human rights groups.
All 27 European Union member nations must recognize the civil marriages of same-gender couples legally performed in any other EU member nation under a landmark ruling by the Court of Justice. The highest EU court's November 25th ruling applies even where there is no domestic marriage equality. A gay Polish couple's 2018 civil marriage was performed in Berlin, where one of them also holds German citizenship. Poland refused to recognize their marriage. After Polish courts failed to rule in their favor, the couple took their case to the top Euro court. All but five EU members offer some form of legal recognition to same-gender couples. In addition to Poland, EU member nations Bulgaria, Lithuania, Romania, and Slovakia don't offer civil unions or marriage to their queer citizens. Katrin Hugendubel is advocacy director for the European chapter of the global queer advocacy group, ILGA. She celebrated the ruling that, she says, clearly states that the recognition of marriage status is key to enjoying EU citizens' fundamental right to freedom of movement across the EU. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk's promised Civic Coalition Party bill to create same-gender civil unions was introduced in October. However, President Karol Nawrocki of the formerly ruling far-right Law and Justice Party has promised to veto any such law.
Tokyo's High Court is the first to say that Japan's marriage inequality is constitutional. Four district courts have ruled otherwise, so the issue of opening civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples will now be up to the Supreme Court. The Sapporo, Nagoya, Osaka, and Fukuoka district courts have each ruled over the past 6 years that the ban on marriage equality is unconstitutional. However, Judge Ayumi Higashi's November 28th ruling upheld the constitutional definition of a family as a man and a woman and their children. The court said that any changes to civil marriage laws must be made by the legislature. The eight plaintiffs' demand for damages was also dismissed, 1 million yen, or about $6,400. Public opinion polls show a significant increase in support for marriage equality, but don't count recently installed Prime Minister Sanae Takeuchi. Japan's first female head of government insists that the family is an institution based around the equal rights of husband and wife.
The United Kingdom's Venerable Women's Institute will soon require new and renewing members to confirm that they were documented female at birth. Women's Institute CEO Melissa Green announced on December 3rd, as an organization that has proudly welcomed transgender women into our membership for more than 40 years, this is not something we would do unless we felt that we had no other choice. They have no choice because of the UK Supreme Court ruling earlier this year that trans women are not legal women under the Equality Act. The trans ban begins as of April 2026. To Trans Plus Solidarity Alliance founder Jude Giatamaki, it's cruel and a failure of this government to protect human rights, including freedom of association. For more than 100 years, the group has brought women together to learn, share skills, work together to become active citizens, and to improve lives in their local, national, and global communities. Ironically, transgender men are not covered in the Supreme Court's ruling. That means that while they are legally men, they will be able to join the Women's Institute because they were identified female at birth.
Finally,
imagine if your doctor came and told you that your quality and outlook on life could transform exponentially to the positive. Would you listen to that doctor? If you felt God's Holy Spirit surrounding you in ways that you haven't felt in years, would you have a sense that that might be something that God's okay with?
Reverend Dr. Philippa Fanouf had quite an announcement for the congregation of North Chile United Methodist Church near the city of Rochester in upstate New York on November 23rd.
I'm affirming and saying to all of you that I am transgender. And so the best way to put this is that I'm not becoming a woman. I'm giving up pretending to be a man.
Fanouf acknowledged that her announcement may still come as a shock to some of her parishioners, though North Chile United Methodist Church is already a welcoming congregation. She told congregants that the district would provide workshops and resources to support everyone concerned. She welcomed all questions and anticipated a few in advance.
Here's some frequently asked questions. Is the United Methodist Church, did he tell the district superintendent about this? What about the bishop? Is he okay with this? Absolutely. Absolutely. They're the first ones that I went to say, how can I do this in a pastoral sort of way to let the congregation know that I love them and that we can do this in such a way that we can stay in ministry together? Is our Methodist theology okay with this? Absolutely. Thank God for our revised this year book of discipline, our book of resolutions, our social principles that affirm this.
Fanouf may be thankful, but more than one in five congregations has chosen to disaffiliate from the denomination since restrictions on participation by same-gender-loving and transgender parishioners and clergy were relaxed in 2019, according to the United Methodist News Service. Reverend Fanouf honored her parents' request that she note their opposition to her transition, but told The Advocate that her 12-year-old daughter was her strongest supporter. The overwhelming support she's felt for most everyone else has been a comfort.
I have to let you know that this is now the third month that I'm in hormone replacement therapy. And that first week, going back to what I said earlier, is if the doctor had something that could increase your quality of life exponentially, I'm here to tell you that it was just within that first week that I was really, truly happy for it for the first time in a very long time. Truly happy.
That was Reverend Dr. Philippa Fanouf announcing her transition during Sunday services on November 23rd at upstate New York's North Chile United Methodist Church.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the 2 weeks ending December 6th, 2025. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V. Stay healthy.
And I'm Melanie Keller. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine.
And now it's time to set our dials back with The Rainbow Rewind, your look at the moments, milestones, and memories that shape our queer journey.
From hard-won victories to cultural firsts, from the unknown to the iconic legends.
We celebrate the people and events that remind us how far we've come and how far we still shine. I'm Brian DeShazer.
And I'm Sherry Lunn. This week, we celebrate Christina, Queen of Sweden, born December 8, 1626, who succeeded her father on the throne, ruling at the young age of 18. Ebba Sparre was her longtime intimate companion.
In 1981, the New York City Gay Men's Chorus becomes the first openly gay musical group to play at Carnegie Hall with their Christmas concert. And on December 8, 2015, openly bisexual artist and activist David Bowie's song Heroes was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame.
Now, let's rewind to some key queer moments. In 1996 in the UK, South Yorkshire Police placed a full-page ad in the Gay Times as part of a recruitment campaign. On December 10, 1948, the United Nations adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
And on December 13, 1973, the American Psychiatric Association voted to remove homosexuality from its list of mental disorders. In more good news, Buenos Aires, Argentina, approved civil unions for same-sex couples in 2002, followed by New Zealand in 2004.
That's this week's Rainbow Rewind.
Because our stories aren't just in the past, they're the pride that powers our future.
I'm Sherry Lunn.
And I'm Brian DeShazer. Stay tuned. More This Way Out is just ahead.
Out of Carolina and numerous trashy pieces. You're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
From the start of history, since a million BC, that we couldn't all be seen, we've been here. Even if we couldn't say LGBTQIA, all of us in our own way, we've been here.
Welcome to This Way Out. I'm Brian DeShazer. I am joined in a roundtable discussion by Hanson Bursick and Katie Carl, co-presidents of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association, and This Way Out's own associate producer, Lucia Chappell. Today, we wanted to talk about the state of queer media in America today. Hanson, why don't I start with you?
Oh, man. I don't know if there is a basic answer to that. It's complicated. You know, we, as presidents of the LA chapter of NLGJ, we've seen tremendous amounts of change just even in the last couple of years. The board of NLGJ LA at the tail end of the pandemic, since that moment, we have been really all over the place between layoffs and press freedom, dealing with the stuff both locally and nationally. And it's tough. I mean, it's a tough time out there. It's why our work is more important than ever. It's why, you know, me and Katie are really passionate about some of the initiatives that we're putting together to really elevate freelancers in particular. It's a tough time to be a freelancer. And now there's more freelancers than ever because there's more layoffs and there's less staff in newsrooms. So it's challenging. There are good things too, but it is... I'd be hard-pressed to say this wasn't a challenging moment for journalists in Los Angeles and beyond.
Before I go to Lucia, Katie, now you're
you actually are a freelance journalist, like in KABC News. So you work in the newsroom, you work with news teams. In your experience on the ground, do you feel a change or a shift in how the company views queer journalists?
I would say I'm extremely fortunate with the company that I work for. Especially in LA, I know it has a reputation of really supporting the queer community, from being the title sponsor to LA Pride to sponsoring us for our big event this year. In the newsroom itself, there are a lot of other queer journalists that are there. I think as a freelancer, you know, I'm more of a permalancer, is what people would call it. More of a permanent freelancer, meaning I work 5 days a week, 4 days a week. But I think what's interesting is when the convention for NLGJA was here in LA, the topic for freelancers was very much looking at where the election was. It could go one way with one administration, and it could go another way with a different administration. And looking at it as, well, if it goes with one administration, there might be a lot more work. And for freelancers. So, you know, that could be an upside. And that was kind of the way it was looking before the election happened. Now, post that, post inauguration, it's very different because we weren't expecting for there to be so many new freelancers and so many more journalists being laid off that the work almost, there are maybe more stories to tell for the LGBTQ plus community. But now there's more journalists to try and tell it and more layoffs. So now the people who were working staff, who were covering different beats, now they are jumping into the scene of freelancing. And it's made it a lot more difficult, even more difficult than I think anyone was thinking it would be. So I think that's just for freelancing, at least, that's kind of how it's looked.
Well, thanks. And so, Lucia, you certainly have the longest experience of a queer journalist on our little mini panel here. What questions do you have for them? But my question actually for you, Lucia, is what do you think the state of queer media is in the United States from your vantage point?
I'm thinking that in a way we've come full circle. In the early days of NLGJA, we were very much focused on getting queer journalists into mainstream media. And those of us, I would have to say that those of us who were always working in independent, non-commercial media were often looked down upon. What I see now, and I think it's very interesting that so many progressive journalists from the mainstream are now moving to independent platforms, Substack, YouTube, you know, all sorts of other ways of getting their work out there. It seems like now we're going to be racing to be independent as opposed to be racing to be commercial. But I wonder how the current situation is going to impact younger journalists who aren't accustomed to kind of gonzo journalism style that we came up in.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's really interesting because, like, when I said there are benefits as well, there are things that are good. You know, there is this rise in independent journalism, nonprofit newsrooms. The journalists that are making at least part of their living off of things like Substack. I mean, we are seeing this rise, and it's a good thing. I mean, we want more independent, sustained journalists that are working in our freelance community. You know, I think when we talk about freelancers at NLGJ here in Los Angeles, it really is at the top of mind for us because we're the way that we are thinking about is how can we make freelancing sustainable? Like if the reality is that these newsrooms can't support full-time staff, which our ideal would be that they can, but if they can't, how can we make it so that these freelancers are able to live their lives, you know, to have an afforded, you know, healthcare, to be afforded, you know, the access to services, to be able to live here in a Los Angeles, which is, you know, one of the most expensive cities to live in the country. It's difficult. And what we don't want to see is our newsrooms being pushed out, you know, and our freelancers not being able to live here in Los Angeles, because what we know is that local journalists tell the best local stories. And if those local journalists can't live here in Los Angeles and are pushed out to the fringes of our city, you know, we lose so much. And you know, our work beyond our events that we do, you know, trying to build community with journalists, we are now looking at different avenues and paths to support, you know, the journalists that are currently working, as well as, you know, provide platforms for emerging journalists, which is another big problem. You know, we're seeing less and less paths for young journalists coming out of college, you know, and J school. You know, we're seeing less paths for them to get consistent work now.
You know, what I was also thinking about is the independent journalism actually opens the window to how many stories get told, and whether it's a small story that wouldn't make it to a mainstream story or doesn't fill the gap of time. But it does open the window of how much of our experience is being told from our own perspective. But going back to you, Katie, how hard is it for a queer story to get selected for broadcast?
So again, I mean, I'm in a newsroom that is extremely supportive, and that is not the case everywhere. My most recent job that wasn't here in Los Angeles was in Phoenix, and that situation was not nearly as supportive. But when it comes to will those stories make it to air, the first step is pitching that story. So in order to pitch that story, you either need to have someone in that newsroom who is of the community, or someone who knows someone in the community, or people in the community that are pitching their stories to that newsroom. The second part of that is pitching it. It's not about, is that story going to be held for June, or is it going to be held for LGBTQ History Month? That's not the case. If it's a story that needs to be told now, today, it will be. For instance, one of the stories that I covered was possible ICE sighting at the Abbey. Now, we received, people were at nearby bars, and the TV screens in all of the nearby bars had ICE is at the Abbey, was written on the TV screens at the other bars, not at the Abbey. Now, come to find out, it wasn't ICE at all. It was the LA Sheriff's Department. They were conducting a raid on like pickpocketing. It was an undercover operation focusing on pickpocketing and other crimes that we all know happen in WeHo. Those stories, they've just become part of our daily news. In other newsrooms, however, sometimes they only want those stories in June. They only want those stories during LGBTQ plus History Month, if at all for that. So honestly, the first step is going to be, is there representation in the newsrooms? As I think, as a society, we're pulling away almost from broadcast media. Some of those newsrooms are shuttering. Some of those newsrooms are combining with others. So the amount of jobs are diminishing. Broadcast journalism is still here. It's not going to go anywhere. It might change. We might not be, you know, on DirecTV or Charter or Spectrum anymore, or whatever the future holds for us, but broadcast news is not going to leave. And while those jobs are diminishing, they're still there, and they still need people, and they really, really need representation in those smaller markets to be able to tell the stories, for you to live in the middle of Montana and learn what their LGBTQ plus community looks like to tell their story. It's very, very important.
Thank you for joining us, Katie Carl and Hanson Burke, co-presidents of the NLGJA Los Angeles chapter, also known as the Association of LGBTQ Plus Journalists. And as always, thank you, Lucia Chappell. You can listen to the extended conversation by visiting This Way Out on SoundCloud.com. And for the NLGJA, visit NLGJA.org. For This Way Out, I'm Brian DeShazer. Thanks for finding This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Melanie Keller and John Dyer V, and produced by Brian DeShazer. The Rainbow Rewind was written and produced by Sherry Lunn and Brian DeShazer. Brian DeShazer produced this week's Queer Journalist Roundtable. You heard music from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite and by Rachel Berenger and Shawnee Kish. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to the Yavanna Foundation, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley celebrating their 50th year together, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon, associate producer Lucia Chappell, and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Brian DeShazer. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on Radio Free Santa Cruz, Santa Cruz, California, WCRS Columbus, Ohio, CKUW Winnipeg, Manitoba, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.
CFRC 101.9 FM every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. You'll hear Finding a Voice. My name is Bruce, host of that poetry-focused spoken word program. On it, you'll hear local readings and events, occasionally telephone interviews across Canada.